There are persuasive reasons for a Jew of my stripe to try to ignore the mental leprosy of anti-Semitism. One is that its adherents include too many mediocre minds whose feeble arguments gain credence simply in being refuted. Another is that there is so much beauty in living Judaism, so many thoughts with the power to elevate the soul and give it reason to hope, that one yearns to focus on those and to share them. Still another, as expressed by most of the rabbis, sages, and thought leaders who inhabit this book, if they did not actually voice it, they were thinking it so strongly that it did not need to be articulated, is that the last thing for which a Jew is made is to engage in a quarrel, that is, in the final analysis, a quarrel of anti-Semites with themselves. And this last reason. New explosions of hatred have erupted everywhere, explosions of which the Jews are not the specific targets. These developments appear designed to put entire countries, and even the world, in a state of siege and emergency response. The fact remains that anti-Semitism exists. Some had thought it dead, obsolete, cast aside. Wrong. It is back, making new connections. It has even begun to strike and to kill, to growing indifference in French cities. And moreover, because observers of the phenomenon often seem blind to its new reality, and believing that they are confronting it, grapple only with its shadows, I see no option but to begin by describing the new guise of the oldest form of hate. The virus and its mutations. For, in the beginning, are words. Anti-Semitism is a very special form of madness, one of the features of which has always been, at every step in its history, choosing the right words to make its madness look reasonable. At bottom, it is a language of pure rage, of brute violence without logic, which knows that it is never more convincing, never so strong, or blessed with such a bright future as when it succeeds in dressing up its resentment in legitimate-looking clothes. And the anti-Semite is someone who, at the end of the day, has always managed to make it appear as if the hate that he feels for some is no more than the effect or reflection of the love he claims to feel for others. There was the time when the anti-Semite said, "I don't hate the Jews so much as I adore the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Jews so viciously abused." That was the Christian argument against a deicidal people. There was the time, epitomized by the Enlightenment and its methodical non-belief, when the anti-Semite corrected the first proposition, going so far as to reverse it. These people must be detested not because they killed Christ, but because they invented him. That was the agnostic, if not atheistic, anti-Semitism of those who, like Voltaire, faulted the Jews not for being deicidal, but for having invented monotheism. Toward the end of the 19th century, when the capitalist mode of production was firmly established, there arrived a third form of hate, which consisted of saying, "We don't care if the Jews invented or killed Christ. We are not firm enough in our belief or unbelief to give this matter the importance that devotees on both sides gave it over the centuries. We are socialists. We care about the underdog, and, filled with this concern, with our consuming love for the sacred common man, determined to find and break the chains that hold him down, we have no choice but to declare that the Jews are at the center of the most extensive system of extortion ever devised by man. And it is for this reason that we go after them." That was the anti-Semitism of French polemicist Édouard Drumont, of the segment of the workers' movement that opposed the pro-Dreyfus party, which was perceived as the incarnation of the banker's spirit and the mercantilist mind. It is that of the socialists who saw Dreyfus himself as the clandestine conductor of the gang of rapacious crows, as the yids of finance and politics, or even as a naked pretext employed by the Jewifying and swindling crowd to wash away all the stains of Israel, from a manifesto dated January 19, 1898, and signed by most of the socialist pundits of that time, including the great Jean Jaurès. It is the socialism for imbeciles that swears not to have anything against Jews. Really, nothing. But everything, really, everything, against Jewish capitalism, using Dreyfus's name to rehabilitate itself and prevail in the war that it is waging against the emaciated Christian nobility allied with the clerical minority of the bourgeoisie, from the same manifesto.